Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is, what would business robot do? And I'll explain that in a little bit. But the numbers to call if you want to get in to talk about having what you want in any area of your life are 866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. And as always, I'll just start by setting the table a little bit, talking about business robot. So business robot, I invented business robot. I created him, I tell you. When I was speaking with a CEO that I was working with, and he was talking about all the different problems he was having in his business. And he actually said, you know, God, I just wish that there was, you know, somewhere I could go where they would just, you know, have the answers. And I said, well, that sounds like a great idea. Let's invent him. He goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, the thing about business is that business is a primarily common sense rational activity that people try to handle emotionally. And, you know, that to a certain extent, usually what we need to do in business is pretty common sense, but common sense is pretty uncommon in usage. And it's because we get emotional and we start taking things personally and we think, well, this means something about me and I've got to do this and they can't do this to me. And consequently, very, very silly business decisions get made. So business robot. Imagine that there was a robot who'd been programmed with all of the best business skills and all of the best business wisdom from all the great business minds throughout history, but has no emotional circuitry whatsoever. So no matter what's going on in your business robot is always going to make the decisions and take the actions that are most likely to lead to success, both short-term and long-term. Now, what's interesting is that a lot of people, when they first hear about business robot, goes, ooh, I wouldn't want to run my business that way. I mean, it would just be very manipulative or very aggressive. Well, actually, if you think about it, business robot would almost always tell you to keep your word, because keeping your word is just good business. Business robot would be telling you to underpromise and overdeliver, because underpromising and overdelivering is good business. Business robot would actually not be out to screw people over, because screwing people over is bad business. And a lot of the things that people think of as, you know, ruthless and robotic are actually emotional and irrational, whereas actual common sense approach to business, very, very straightforward. So business robot has gotten a lot of work with a lot of very, very successful people since we first created them. And just one story to share. The numbers to call if you want to get in on the show, 866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. I was working with a client, I'll call her Emma, and she had a home-based business. And she'd been doing it for about a year. She'd been working really hard. She hadn't been making very much money. And she hired me to help her turn things around, or as she said, I want to turn things around, or I want to make peace with letting the business go. And so the first thing I did was introduce her to Business Robot, who I carry around with me just in case. And I asked her, okay, well, imagine that Business Robot has been hired, that you've been able to hire Business Robot to run your company, take over your job for a while. What would Business Robot do? And her first response was, well, he'd quit. And again, I must point out at this point, I'm not actually sure. Most people do seem to make Business Robot a boy bot, but Business Robot can be a girl bot. But after further questioning, back to our story, Emma came to realize that actually her business was mostly on track, and that what had been troubling her was the pressure she'd been putting on herself to make it succeed more quickly. And then she had a whole series of insights. So she said, well, Business Robot would institute a very strict ABC priority policy and stick with it. And he wouldn't let himself get caught up in other people's sense of urgency. And Business Robot would work less hours and would really recognize the value of focusing on work when at work and renewing her energy and resources outside of working hours. And Business Robot would go through and do an 80-20 evaluation of which clients are bringing in the most money for the least effort and which clients are taking the most effort and bringing in the least money, and then would use that information as a basis for prioritizing certain clients and firing others. And she just kept streaming insights. And if you start to apply the business robot idea to your business, you'll start finding that you have all sorts of insights as well. Perhaps the biggest breakthrough that Emma got from her exploration was when she realized that far from working harder or longer, Business Robot would have hired an assistant to take care of the majority of the tasks she found so tiresome. And when she did that, she found herself free and energized to do the work that she loved and excelled at, and it made a huge difference in her life, but also in her business. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Troy in L.A. Troy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I'm a big fan, and my wife's a big fan, too. She turned me on to you earlier this year, and I've listened to a lot of your shows.
Thank you.
Really excited. I've got a very, very big dream, and about almost 19 years ago, started on this dream, and I took a screenwriting class with a woman by the name of Julia Cameron. She challenged me to write a screenplay, and I am still trying to achieve that dream of writing a feature-length screenplay that I'm proud of.
Cool.
And so I'm wondering how I can. I think Business Robot's batteries are either dead or something's malfunctioned.
Well, let's look at this a little bit differently. So, in those 19 years, how many screenplays have you written that you didn't love?
Well, I wrote one, and I don't love it.
Okay.
And mostly my problem is I get so far and I hate it before I finish it, and so I don't finish it. If I could only get to the point of finishing it first and then hating it, that'd be better.
I like that. Plan ahead. So let's just play. So Imagine Business Robot's been brought in to help you write your screenplay.
Got it.
Okay. What would Business Robot do this week started?
This week he would say call Michael Neal, but then after he did that he would say probably continue to work on your screenplay and convince yourself not to hate it as much. But that's the trouble. I'm so good. I'm so sophisticated at convincing myself that I hate it that I can't do that. I can't get past.
Okay. I've done a lot of work with Business Robots. Sometimes his garbled messages need a little bit of interpreting. I don't think that a bot with no emotional circuitry would care whether you loved it or hated it.
Interesting.
That bot would just be concerned with, are you producing the requisite number of words on paper in order to produce the target by a certain date?
Okay.
Whether you love it, hate it, care about it, think it's worthwhile, think it's a good idea, or anything. Because the fact is, if you write, let's say, most of the screenwriters I work with, you know, on an average day, which is what I certainly encourage them to do and a lot of them do, they might get 3 pages done.
Right.
You know, so that in 40 days or so, they will have a full draft of a screenplay. Usually they can do it in about a month, the first draft. And then they go back, and if they will generally do rewrites, and the rewrites can go on for a little while. So what Business Robot would say, at least as I'm hearing him, is, you know, write 3 pages a day for a month.
And I've tried that before, and I generally stop, or actually I don't even get to the pages because I can't get through the outline.
Right. So you've just kind of summed it up. Again, we're going really common sense here. But if you don't write them, they won't exist.
Right.
No matter how good your reason for not writing them. If you do write them, they will exist, no matter how much you've not enjoyed the process. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should hate what you do. I'm suggesting that in this case, for whatever reason, you've made liking it or enjoying it or thinking it's good more important than actually writing it.
Right.
And that will never work for anyone on this planet, including Spielberg.
Right.
So here's my challenge to you is in the next. Now, there's a couple of ways to do this.
Okay.
Vicky King's got a great book on screenwriting called How to Write a Screenplay in 21 Days.
Oh, I know it very well.
Okay.
I tried that once and I threw it out the window. Yeah, but.
Okay. So. You're welcome to go see if you can still find it, or I think you'll probably get a new one for about $8.99 at Borders. but do you see where I'm going with this, Troy?
Just don't think.
Yeah,
if I can move faster than my critic, then maybe I can.
Have you read a book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield?
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah. So this time when you read it, try following it.
Actually. put it into practice.
Absolutely. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to phone me when phone back into the show when there's a screenplay.
Okay.
And you know, send it through. We'll have a look.
Even if I hate it, I should do
it. Even if you hate it.
Okay. That's a deal.
Done. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks so much, Michael. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
You know, you take care. You know, this is the thing. Okay, we get caught up, and we get confused, and we get muddled, and when you just allow your natural common sense to come out, you know, people. It's almost like people want to have therapy instead of get stuff done. And I'm not against therapy at all. You know, it's really neat if you want to kind of learn about yourself and get insight into yourself. But if you want to get stuff done, I don't know of a better way to do it than just doing it. And, you know, if you have difficulty with it, you can get help, you can get support. But very often, this is something that, you know, almost baffles clients when they first come on with me, because they'll come on and they'll think that we're going to have these great, intense discussions about why they're doing what they're doing and what they need to do to overcome their procrastination and develop their motivation. And sometimes we do. But very often what I'll do is, if a client, let's say Troy was my client, and Troy called up and said, boy, I'm really struggling. You know, I really want you to help me sort through this procrastination issue. I don't know what stops me. What I would most likely do is I would say, okay, Troy, I'm going to put my phone on mute, and I want you to put yours on mute, and I want you to write for the next half hour. And in half an hour, we're going to unmute, and we're going to chat about what you've written. And there'd be a pause, not unlike that one. And at that point, you know, chances are that he would have written something. Once you're in action, it is easier to stay in action. Until you're in action, it can absolutely be very difficult moving forward. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go to, let's see, who should we go to next? Let's go to Rita in San Francisco. Rita, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Me?
Well, if your name is Rita.
It is, but wow, that was quick. I didn't expect you to actually pick the phone up, so thank you.
That's a pleasure.
Okay, so a couple days ago, I came into work and all my stuff was in a box. And needless to say, that was my last day at work. So, yeah, it was pretty... I don't know. I knew the company was struggling because I do the finances, and I've been telling them that, you know, that it's struggling and there's not enough money. But I didn't really.
At least they listened to you.
That's a good way to look at it. It's not exactly what my advice was originally, but I did say cut the payroll back. So, and I've owned a business before, so I know it's a business decision. But he went on and on about how it's my fault and stuff like that. And he went way off out of integrity. And I just sat there. I couldn't even defend myself because I just was thinking, this is ridiculous and untrue. And so when I started to try to be accountable for my portion, he just kept talking over me, telling me, no, you don't, you do this and you. And I just thought, you know, I just stood up and I just thought, I'm not taking this. And I just said, you know, take care of yourself. And I walked out and I got zero money, nothing, no severance, nothing. And I let that tape of his just ridiculous babbling kind of go on in my head, even though I didn't want to, because I knew it wasn't based in reality. So now I'm sort of stuck, and what do I do? And I actually want to take your Super Coach Academy in February, and that's probably not going to happen. And I just sort of in this, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself, and then what a shock. I am feeling sorry for myself.
Well, okay. So let's can we separate out a few of the bits of the story here?
Yes, I would love it.
Okay. So the first thing is, I'm sorry that you lost your job.
Thank you.
Okay. That just, you know, it sucks, especially if it's unexpected, and especially if you liked your job.
Yeah.
You know, and I personally, you know, it's funny because, you know, I write books about happiness and I talk about happiness, and I remember a woman coming to me years ago. And she was just at a party, and she kind of knew what I did. And she said, you know, I want to talk to you. People always kind of lower their voices when they talk about depression. you know, it's like, I want to talk to you. I think I'm suffering from depression and I may need medication. And I said, well, you know, look, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, tell me what's going on. And she said, well, my boyfriend, who I was engaged to for the last few years, and we've been together for 12 years since we were 18. On my 30th birthday, he proposed. And then 3 months into our engagement, he told me that he'd been having an affair with his secretary and they were having a baby and he was going to marry her instead. And I said, okay, anything else? And she said, oh, and my father has just lost a battle with cancer. And my brother is going through some difficulties at work. And I said to her, maybe you just need to be depressed just for a bit. And the look of relief on her face when I said that was profound, because you know what? This stuff stinks. And even though we know metaphysically, emotionally, we have at some level an understanding that the emotions aren't really intrinsically linked to the event and that it's perfectly possible to go through an event like that without suffering and all of that. You know what? Sometimes, so you feel bad for a bit and then it passes. It doesn't have to be a big deal. We're actually allowed to feel bad from time to time. And for me, I don't know if that's true for you, but for me, I find that really comforting to know that there's a difference between wanting to feel good and working to feel good and not being allowed to feel bad. Does that resonate with you at all?
It does. I feel like I shouldn't, you know, there's the should word that I try to not use, except when I use it on myself. And I feel like I shouldn't feel that way because, you know, I have two kids and they're young adults and they're just trying to find their place in the world and I need to be an example or not. But I really am upset. I've worked there for almost 2 years and it's my livelihood. It's how I support, you know, I'm the sole provider for both the kids. So I do feel bad.
Yeah,
and I'm it's like trying to slap a happy face on someone that I'm not happy today. I'm just
well,
not.
Do you know who the group of people that I find hate personal development wisdom more than anyone else? People with cancer. Because somehow they wind up not only having cancer, but feeling like somehow it's their fault. And then they just get really pissed off with it. No, it's not that there isn't a mind-body connection. It's not that we can't heal ourselves. It's not that there isn't the possibility of creating amazing things out of any situation, including the one that you're in, and we're going to get to that. Okay, I'm not just going to, the subtotal of this call is not going to be, Rita, just feel bad. Okay, next we have Marcella and Ventura. But
thank God, Michael.
You know, but there is an element of just allowing for that. You know, you're a human
being. Thank you for that, because I feel like I do need permission almost.
No, I understand that. I understand that. You have it. Well, you have my permission. I mean, the rest of the world may damn you, but, you know,
well,
to heck
care.
With them. It's just about you
exactly.
And me.
Exactly.
Okay, so given that, so we're just going to take that, you know what, you're going to have some better days and some worse days, and you're probably going to feel bad about it from time to time until you don't.
Okay.
All right. Now let's look at, now let's bring Business Robot in. Because again, Business Robot isn't there to replace you. Business Robot is there to counsel you.
Okay.
To coach you in a way. So if Business Robot came in, and so let's say that Business Robot was your business manager. And you just, you know, are in the situation you're in. You just lost this job. What would Business Robot do? Looking at your career, looking at what's just happened. So if Business Robot looked at the way that you parted, for example, is there anything Business Robot would do to clean up that situation that you left behind? Or would Business Robot just walk away from it?
I'd say he'd probably walk away from it.
Okay, great. Now, what would Business Robot do in terms of setting a time frame for creating income? So remember, this is Business Robot. This isn't about fear. This is about looking at numbers.
I'd say he'd give me 30 days.
Okay, great. 30 days to start looking or 30 days to complete? The
30 days to complete to... Oh, I think he would give me 2 weeks to be completely 100% in the game of looking, proactively creating a position, and 30 days to secure it and be on my way.
Fantastic. Okay. And at this point, if that was like, if you did have this business manager who said, okay, Rita, look, this sucks, but we're going to regroup, we're going to do something with it, take the next 2 weeks, you know, really just throw yourself in. And then, you know, within the month, we're going to get you into a new position. Would you know where to start from there?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, not everything. I mean, I'm not all the opportunities, but I would just start off on the internet. If it was Business Robot, he would say, you know, do different agencies and things like that. Call people that I know, let them know that I'm available.
Okay, so is there any reason that you wouldn't follow that advice?
No, I would. I just feel like, but that's the feeling part, it's not Business Robot. But for me, I feel like there's so many people looking because I hire in my position. I'm a business manager. So, that's what I do.
So great. This is where Business Robot really comes in. Because
yeah,
Business Robot doesn't care about the story.
Okay, yeah, because I have a story around applying for jobs on the internet.
Mm-hmm. That's I'm sure it's a wonderful story. Perhaps we can write it down. Perhaps in fact we can give it to Troy and he can write a screenplay about it. But in terms of actually getting you a job, who cares?
Okay.
So what I'm gonna recommend is that you take, again, you don't necessarily become robotic. You don't try to not feel. But in terms of the decisions you make and the actions you take, you let them be guided by Business Robot.
Okay.
Because look, if you and I were both looking for a job starting today, and you were sitting at home going, well, I could apply on the internet, but I'm probably sure there's no point in applying on the internet because, you know, people don't hire from the internet. And I could call these people, but I don't really want to call them because I know they've got so many people calling them right now. And I'm not really sure that I want to find out whether they're really my friend and really like me or if they just did. And I was spending that same amount of time on the internet applying for jobs and calling up everyone I knew and letting them know I was available. Which of us do you think was going to wind up with employment first?
Well, definitely you would. And I would counsel any of my employees to do the same thing. Not sit around, but to take action.
Right. So are you hearing the coaching opportunity in this moment? Can you get the amazing advice that Supercoach Michael Neal is about to give Rita in San Francisco?
I have a feeling where it might go.
Yeah, no, go for it. Go for it. Here. I'll give you the script. Take the lines. What are we about to tell Rita?
I mean that it's okay to feel bad. It is okay to feel bad, but in my feeling bad, I also still have to be a responsible adult and take action. And in the times I could set some time aside to have a feel bad session. I can, whether it's in the evening or in the morning, or take a walk and feel as sorry for myself as I want to. But then in the other hours to get it going. Do all the things proactively. Mm-hmm. Talk to people. Apply. Be proactive. And to literally be optimistic. But when I want to be in my bummer, I'm only allowed a certain portion of time. If I was counseling any of my employees, I would tell them the same thing.
Very cool. So here's the ultimate question. Are you willing to take that advice?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I just needed a little push.
Yeah. Consider yourself pushed.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much. And please do let us know when you're back up and running.
All right. Thanks so much, Michael. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Rita. And this just happens. Okay. Stuff happens. I do not know a way of being in the world where stuff doesn't happen. You know, the same week that Nina and I moved into this new house I talked about last week, you know, her aunt in England died. My uncle in Massachusetts died. Been flying around for funerals and dealing with all of that. Would we prefer that that didn't happen? Sure. Do we think for a moment that you can ever get to some sort of just perfect mind space where nobody that you know ever dies and nothing bad ever happens? I'm not aware of that as a possibility on the planet Earth. That's not me being negative. It's not even me being realistic. It's me just looking around and going, okay, well, that seems to happen. Now, what's optional is it turning into suffering or it keeping you stuck. The kind of crap, that's kind of non-optional. But what you do with the crap, oh, that's completely up to you. You have so much choice there. You have so many possibilities for what you can do. And when you see that, when you see that no matter how bad it seems right now, you are not stuck. There is nothing outside of you that can hold you back. There is nothing outside of you that can defeat you, that can crush you. Then you can move forward gently sometimes, boldly at other times, and you can create the life that you want to live. We're going to be back with more of your calls. Numbers to call after the break, 866-254-1579 from outside the United States, 760-918-4300. Marcella and Jay, you are next in the queue. We're going to be right back after this.
Real strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about my very good friend, Business Robot, and we're also talking with you about creating what you want in your life. Just before we get back, I want to talk a little bit about Supercoach Academy. So in January of 2010, I'm going to be starting for the first time and very possibly the last time a 6-month coach school called Supercoach Academy. You can read about it at supercoachacademy.com. And I'm going to be the lead faculty, but we're also going to be joined by Dr. Robert Holden, who a lot of you will know from his new book, Be Happy, and his appearances on Oprah. Jennifer Loudon, the woman's book of comfort and the life organizer, and a number of other wonderful books and retreats that she runs. Steve Chandler, who's written way too many books for me to talk about, and a number of just other extraordinary coaches. We're going to be getting together. For those of you who are looking for something new, to make a shift in your work, to use this economy, to use whatever's going on in your life as a chance to really do something different and really take what you do and take your concern for other human beings and your desire to make a difference in the world and use that as the foundation for making a living in your life, then please do check out what we're up to at supercoachacademy.com. And with that said, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to, I'm going to make this up. Let's see, Marcella in Ventura, California. Marcella, is that, did I get that right?
Yeah, I was right.
Yay, me.
Yay.
Okay, sorry, just having a little moment for myself there.
That's okay.
All right, what can I do for you today?
Well, I'm really happy to talk to you. I'm a brand new listener. So I'm just kind of feeling a little lost career-wise. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty young. I'm 25, and I'm currently at a temporary job. I was laid off last November from my job of 3 years, which is totally fine because it was a very toxic environment, and it was kind of better that it happened that way. But my heart's just not in the job I'm at right now. It's not something I love to do. And I was offered, offered a permanent position that would happen later on, probably early next year. But my true love and my passion is lying in my, I had an online clothing business where I sold vintage clothing and made feather hair accessories and bridal accessories. And that's mm-hmm. where my true passion lies, and I really, really want to go for it, especially because I feel like now is the time if I'm going to start my own business. I feel like now is a really good time, but I'm also very concerned about, you know, well, do I stay at this job that I'm not happy at just because I'm getting a steady paycheck, or, you know, do I take that leap of faith and just go where my heart wants? But I constantly, you know, have my parents in the background, well, you know, you're not going to have steady money, and that's not guaranteed, and I'm very, very lost, and I'm very confused, and I'm not really sure what I should do, what direction I should go in.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some, you know, you're a new listener, so you'll get used to me. Okay. I'm going to ask you some weird sounding questions.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is, how would you know when you know? In other words, how would you know that you got the right answer to that question?
I guess I wouldn't really know until I tried.
Okay.
I mean,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So given that, there's two places that we can go with that.
Okay.
Either we can say, okay, we'll try. In other words, you know, one of my basic rules of thumb, especially when it comes to work, is flirt before you date, before you get engaged, before you get married.
Right.
You know, so the idea that you're supposed to walk right into a marriage with a job is as nuts as the idea that you can walk straight into a marriage from a bar with a stranger.
Right.
And expect it to work. It's not that we couldn't find one or two examples of it working in life. It's just not the most likely way that it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But the second thing we can do is we can change the question. And we can see if we can come up with a question that there is an answer to. So I don't know, but what occurs to me is let's ask Business Robot. So if Business Robot came in to manage your career at this point, given that you don't, you know, so we talk to Business Robot and we say, here are the criteria. I've been you know, laid off from this job, which I didn't really like. And I'm not really sure. I do kind of know the kind of thing that I want to do, but I'm not really sure how I want to do it. And there's some opportunities out there that might, you know, that might take care of some financial things in the short term, but aren't really what I want to do. And I'm getting a lot of advice from other people in my family about what I should do. What would Business Robot's first advice to you be? What would be the first thing Business Robot would say?
Gosh, I mean, I don't even know if I can, if I have the answer to that. I mean, I'm so,
well,
I feel so overwhelmed.
Here's the thing. One of us is going to start making up answers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And when we do that, we'll be doing the same thing your parents are doing, which is making up our best way to look after the person that we love, which in this case is you.
Right.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that it's helpful. That just means that, it just means that that's where it comes from.
Right.
So do this. This is, again, this makes for terrible radio if I do it the way that I would normally do it. So I'm going to keep talking while we do this.
Okay.
But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take 1 minute. And I'll let you know when the minute's gone.
Okay.
And I just wanted to take that minute to come as fully present as you can. So do whatever you know to do, whatever you need to do to come fully present. I'm going to keep chatting, but then I'm going to let you know when the minute's gone, okay?
Okay.
All right. So obviously, normally, while this would be going on, I would also be taking a minute to really center up in silence. But as I say, not the most interesting radio in the world. So I'll just talk a little bit about why I do this with clients. Very often what happens is the reason we feel overwhelmed is because we allow our thoughts to get into a spin. And we start thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about our thinking and thinking about whether that thought is the right thought. And should I think that thought? And maybe I should think this thought. And it gets so busy and noisy up there that we can't hear ourselves think. We can't hear our wisdom speak. And wisdom will always speak if you create a space for it to speak into. So sometimes the best thing we can do when we're feeling overwhelmed, when we're feeling a bit stuck, is just stop. Just give it a minute for the dust to settle. You know, one metaphor I love for it that comes from Spencer Johnson is, if your windscreen is dirty and you're driving, it takes 1 minute to pull over and wipe your windscreen. And that minute is so important because once you do, everything looks clearer. But until you do, no matter how hard you try to look, you're going to be looking through the crud of what's accumulated on the windscreen. So, Marcella.
Yes.
Just in this moment, how do you feel right now?
A little bit better. I feel a little bit more calm.
Okay. So, if I was the job fairy, and I might be. My wife has cast aspersions. But if I was the job fairy and I could just give you any job by waving my wand, and it wouldn't even have to be a job that existed already off a menu, but I could basically create, you could do whatever you wanted with your time and I would get you a salary for it. What would you want me to wave my magic wand for?
I'd want to do my vintage clothing business and create my designs.
Okay, brilliant. Now, so we got the vintage clothing business and your designs. Now, how many days forward or weeks or months or years could you go without working before you're going to be out on the street?
I mean, well, luckily I live at home with my parents, so, you know, I don't have to worry about rent and stuff. I do have bills and things, but, I mean, realistically, I'd probably be able to go maybe 4 to 5 months.
Okay. So I want you to sit down in your head right now with Business Robot and look at, is 4 to 5 months enough time to begin making money with the vintage clothing and design business?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then the only question that I've got is, what would possibly stop you from taking the next 4 or 5 months to really commit to and begin to create that business that you would love to do, given that you have the resources with which to back yourself to do it?
I mean, it's probably not the best excuse, but I just, it's hard when I have, you know, my dad in particular, he's just very concerned about money all the time, and everything for him revolves around money, and I'm not like that. But, you know, it's constantly getting that, you know, well, you know, how much do you sell it for? You should have sold it for more. Or,
okay. So if I can't, would your dad, you know, fancy himself as a good business person?
He'd like to think he is.
Okay. So let me put it like this. If I went to your dad, let's say I invested in your business and I invested my mental capital rather than like putting cash in, but we used your backing to get it going. And I came to him with a business plan that showed him how we intended to begin creating income in the next 4 to 5 months and our backup plan for if things didn't go according to plan or there were unexpected expenses or unexpected things that came up.
Right.
Would he be able to look at that plan and go, yeah, okay, do you know what? Not my thing. I might not do it this way, but I can see the business case for this.
Yeah, I think he would.
So I would say that let him be a brilliant, brilliant resource for you.
Okay.
Create that business plan because it's going to be great for your business anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you might have a really good business plan even if your dad doesn't recognize it as such. But if you can create a business plan that your dad looks at and goes, do you know what? That could work. Then you really know you've cracked something.
Okay. Yeah, I never thought of approaching it that way.
Look, when we've got people in our lives, we can always, always, always find a way to create with them, to create something meaningful, to create something useful. And I'm going to guess that you would like your relationship with your dad to stay meaningful and fun.
Yeah.
Or at least become meaningful and fun.
Definitely.
Okay. So would you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. That's the next step.
Great.
Thank you very much for phoning in.
Thank
welcome.
You
welcome.
So much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You know, it's funny, but when Marcella just said, you know, this isn't the best excuse, what was coming to my mind is, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's a good excuse or a bad excuse. You either want to do something or you don't. And if you want to do something, you don't need an excuse. And if you don't want to do something, you don't need an excuse. Because I want to and because I don't want to are pretty legitimate reasons to make decisions. And then what usually happens is we then come up with all our rationales behind them for why we think we should do this and why it's such a good idea. But we don't really need to do that. There are practicalities. If Marcella had come back to me and said, I can go about 3 weeks, I probably wouldn't be suggesting a business plan as the next step because there were more immediate needs to be taken care of. But given that she has the resources, time, and space to do that, that's the common sense thing to do. Well, gee, we've got somebody here who's really concerned about the business case. Let's actually use them to help us really clarify our business case, because that's going to be really important. That's going to be really useful. Gee, we've got some resources here, and we kind of know exactly what we want to do. Did you notice there was no hesitation? She didn't spend 5 minutes going, well, I might want to do vintage clothing business, but I also might want to open a Smoothie King franchise. And also I'm thinking of becoming a life coach and I'd like to go surfing in Bermuda. It was very clear. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. And again, when you've got that kind of clarity, there's a real power in beginning to move with it and act on it. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jay in New York. Jay, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hey, Michael, it's great to speak to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's great. I have Money Made Easy, so I'm a big fan of your products, and I'd like to thank you for putting out everything that you do. And I love your quote, which is, money is just the thing that you go out and get. So that's
thank you.
That's a great thing. And my question was, you know, how do you create something when the idea that you have is very capitally intensive, because my idea involves real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way I can put it is, imagine that Frank Gehry, you know, designed a shopping center. So it could be anything from like just a commercial strip mall or as big as like a regional shopping mall. And it's just a fun question to ask. Like, what if there was a Frank Gehry-like design for commercial real estate? And that's the kind of thing that I want to do is, like, you know, you don't just need to have a shopping center be a rectangle box. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I guess the question is, how do you do that when it's never been done before? It challenges kind of the norm. And like Marcel, who called in before, you know, I'm just in my 20s, too. I don't have experience owning shopping centers or dealing with managing shopping centers, anything like that.
Well, so here's the beauty of this, Jay, is if it was a prerequisite to succeed in business, that what you wanted to succeed at had been done before and that right. you had done it, then nobody would ever succeed in business.
Right.
So when there's something that you have a vision for and you don't have the expertise, you don't have the skills, you don't have the experience, then common sense, business robot, says, well, let's go get it.
Right.
And either we might decide we're going to go get it ourselves, so we might want to go work with an entrepreneur, a business owner, somebody who designs shopping centers, somebody who does that. And we might want to take a little time and sort of approach them and ask them to mentor us. Or we might actually want to work with them. We might want to take our idea to them. We're probably going to start by doing a lot of research because there's an awful lot of books written about how to move forward in commercial real estate. There's a ton of books written about how to, you know, buy real estate with no money down. And a lot of that stuff will work just as well commercially as it does with private real estate.
Right.
So it's not that the information isn't out there. So given that all of that information to my friend, Steve Chandler, he's one of the, going to be one of the teachers on Supercoach Academy. And he's got a great distinction that he shares with people, which is the difference between want to and how to. And he maintains that when people say they don't know how to do something, what they really mean is, I'm not sure I really want to do it. Because when you really want to do something, the how is a detail. You don't, what you don't know how to do, you'll figure out.
Right.
So let's bring Business Robot in. Okay. So Business Robot is gonna help you with this project.
Sure.
Okay. So what would Business Robot do this week to get things started moving forward?
Maybe like write an outline plan for it so that it could be brought to, you know, potential investors to raise money.
Okay, fantastic. Now, what would Business Robot set as the sort of target for the next month?
As the target for the month, maybe writing like a page a day.
Okay, fantastic. And what would Business Robot kind of, if Business Robot was looking at the next quarter, so from now into by the end of January, where would Business Robot want things to have moved to and to make sure it gets done by then?
Well, certainly have the plan done and then maybe taking it to something like a score or actually taking it out to people that might have, you know, the avenues to get some funding for it.
Brilliant. And what about within the next year?
Within the next year.
So in other words, so if you said to Business Robot, look, I want to be able to call into Mike's show a year from today, what should I be able to tell him about where we're at with this project?
The problem about the project is the scale of it. That's the thing, like with a shopping center, it could be a huge thing. So I think that something needs to be done in a scaled down version to show, you know, some sort of experience on like a smaller scale.
Okay. So,
it might be an acquisition that took less money to do, but some of the design elements were inputted into it to show how, if you have, you know, unconventional design in real estate, it creates more value.
Okay, fantastic. And then what would Business Robot say in terms of, if we ask Business Robot to set a time frame for the actual shopping center, what would be the time frame, the initial time frame, knowing that it could change, the Business Robot would lay out for the actual shopping center?
For the actual shopping center, probably like 3 years.
Fantastic. And then one more question.
Yes.
What would Business Robot create as a long-term vision for you in terms of this whole kind of work?
I think once you have the actual scaled project done, then it would just be replicating it in a few cities that you'd want it to become part of, you know, the skyline or the fabric of that city. I don't want to be like, you know, a Simon property group that owns, you know, 200 malls across America. I would just like to see this as kind of like a project that was able to be done maybe in like five cities.
Okay, fantastic. So, Jay, did you hear yourself for the last 3 minutes?
Kind of.
Okay, because here's what I heard.
Okay.
I heard a guy named Jay call up and say, "Hey, Mike, let me run my business plan by you. I'm going to spend the next week to month beginning to develop a business plan for developing really unusual alternative commercial real estate projects. And over the next year, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a small-scale version of what it might look like, and I'm actually going to create, with as much outside help as I need, I'm going to create a sort of a test case for creating something that's out of the norm, that's interesting, that's kind of more fun, and really begin to play with a business case for what it's going to be. And over the next 3 years, I'm going to parlay what I learn from doing that and the connections that I make in creating that and the things that I continue to learn moving forward into developing actually a shopping center that is going to be it's going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. It's going to be incredibly cool, but it's also part of its coolness will be how profitable it is.
Right.
And as I move forward from that, I'm actually going to really be developing that as at the heart of a whole new approach to commercial real estate and business that's much more fun, much more playful, and ultimately much, fun to be involved with and sustainable.
That's where it came from. It just came from a really exciting question, you know. That is, what would a shopping center look like if Frank Gehry had designed it? And, you know, I think you're not too far away from the Disney Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So
here's the thing, Jay.
Yeah.
You actually have a brilliant plan. You articulated it very, very clearly and beautifully, and you know exactly what the next step is. So the only question left, it's the rubber meets the road question that I asked earlier in the first half of the show.
Right.
Will you, over the next week, begin to work on that business plan?
Absolutely.
That's it. Our
There's
work
no
here is
I
done.
Can.
Our work here is done. Please keep us posted.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Have a great day.
You too. And look, this is true for any of us. We already know if we can slow down all the noise and all the stories and all the why we can't and just actually explore, what do we already kind of know? What does our common sense tell us? What does our wisdom tell us? The answers are in there. And the key to working with Business Robot for yourself is to realize that your goal is not to become more robotic. It's just to bring the wisdom of a mentally disciplined approach into balance with the wisdom of your very human heart. It doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to become emotionless in order to create, but you also don't have to try and create from this place of continually being unsettled. And today I'm going to do this, but tomorrow I'm going to do that, because that also isn't sustainable. You have inside you a common sense. You have inside you a wisdom. And if you will allow it to, it will guide you every step of the way. And the funny thing is, the next step is usually something very simple. It's making a phone call. It's looking online. It's having a conversation with a friend. And from that next step will arrive, and the next, and the next. We're going to be back with a brand new show next week. If you enjoy the kinds of things we talk about on the show, please check us out online at geniuscatalyst.com. That's geniuscatalyst.com. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.